Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Messina Connection. I'm so excited that you are watching this very, very special edition with the lovely Queen of Versailles.
Hi.
Jackie Siegel.
And Scott, I am so honored. I'm so glad that I met you again recently. We have mutual friends together over the past 25 years, but it's like finally we got connected.
I watched your show. It was unbelievable. I'll give Netflix a shout out, and everybody's just been so behind what you do, who you are. You do not have to be here. You do not have to be doing this. And yet, I feel so blessed that you are.
Well, you know, I just feel that God has been blessed us so much that really what's important is to give back, to save lives, make this world a better place. And we're, you know, oh my God, I'm so sorry about Moshi.
No, Moshi. Let's introduce Moshi.
The star of the show.
Moshi's mad that I didn't introduce him. I'm sorry, buddy. I'm sorry.
Oh, I might have to put him down.
Yeah, you want to put him down?
I think he has a little hair stuck in his throat.
No problem.
I don't know if that ever happens with your beard.
Oh, my gosh. That's hysterical. That's hysterical. Yeah, my beard.
I know.
It used to be. You know, it's funny.
He's too funny.
It used to be so far down here. My mom's a cancer survivor, and I did No Shave November, and I just let it keep going. And, you know, in the town we live, it's like, oh, my God, Scott's letting himself go. I'm like, no, until she's 100% in remission. And she is. She's God's good. And so now I can shave it up, trim it up, and my wife is extremely happy about that, for sure. She's a beard girl. She loves my beard and my mustache. And I don't think I look good with a clean face, but whatever.
I like mustaches.
Do you?
Well, my dad has a beard and a mustache. I mean, I'm used to it.
Awesome. That's amazing. And, you know, it's funny how you and I actually first met is your late husband, David. You know, I was a DJ at Disney, one of their top DJs for 23 years. And when Westgate came to Disney, I was always the call that they made. I was always the one that they wanted me to DJ. I'm sure you were at some of the events when we were at Epic, the Indiana Jones Epic.
Oh, yeah.
And I was DJ Salad Bar, and David was always so pleasant, so nice. And then, of course, around town, seeing each other and everything. But I got to say, what you two did after the sadness of Victoria, what you have done and the amount of lives you have saved, and that's my biggest honor. We're getting into the entertainment and all that fun stuff. We have so much in common. You've had a lot of loss recently, and I promised myself and I promise you this will not be sad. This will not be a sad podcast. This will be a fun podcast. However, let's talk reality. The reality of it is you've had a lot of loss.
A lot of loss. Oh my gosh.
You want to talk about it?
Sure. When we were finishing Versailles, Versailles was under construction after our 2012 crash, which the whole world experienced that economy crash, but it was all documented in a reality documentary. So we did shut down Versailles, and then finally my husband recovered from the financial crash and he decided to continue with Versailles. So we started rebuilding it, and that year in 2012 he bought the Predators, the football team, private jet, a Las Vegas hotel, casino, the Hilton, the convention hotel. Things were going great. And he says, we're going to finish Versailles. We got a big family. And he was super excited. And I mean, he was like involved with like all of the shows out there and the showgirls and this and that, concerts. It was really like a life of like, so fast paced. And then our daughter passed away, our 18-year-old daughter. We had seven children together. And the carpet was like pulled from underneath us. It's like, I really feel that it was a wake-up call from God, because we were living in a life, and I was just kind of tagging along with my husband, in a life that was full of parties and this and that, meaningless. Almost like what I look back, it was like without purpose. But
Wow.
with all this money in the world, and we did have the Westgate Foundation and things like that, but one thing that wasn't with us is our life's passion to devote the rest of our lives, like 100%, with getting out there, podcasts like this. Thank you for doing things like this. And really, we formed the Victoria's Voice Foundation, and we started so much. We're the ones that got policy change for to have Narcan out there.
Oh, I followed you. I followed you to a T. I saw you before Congress.
Yeah.
I saw, the monies you put behind that. So you didn't just talk, you know. And I've also seen, and I can't recite them off the top of my head because they keep increasing daily, how many lives have been saved with you being such a major part of the whole entire endeavor between Congress and everybody, every
Yeah.
school.
Right.
Am I correct? Every school, every emergency police department, whatever, they all have it because of the lobbying you and David did.
Well, we spent, so David says, I don't want to just do it on a local level, which we did local,
Sure.
but he we went straight to DC, which I do have a little documentary that I put on for free on the Queen of Versailles on my YouTube channel. It's called The Princess of Versailles. And that's about what we did after my daughter's passing. Yeah, we have been just on this incredible journey together, me and my husband, with all of this. I don't know if I should get in yet to what happened this past year
Please,
with.
whatever, we're open, we're non-censored, whatever you want to talk about.
Okay, so in any case, we had seven kids by birth, okay? And after we had the twins, we inherited a niece, my sister-in-law, who is a single mom, estranged from my brother, who she passed away from a drug overdose. So I inherited Jonquil, who's also in the documentary, The Queen of Versailles. So I ended up with eight children, and then we lost Victoria. Now, years go by, and here we are 10 years, last year, 10 years later. We did the National Naloxone Awareness Day in DC. But a little over a year ago, we lost our stepson, well, my stepson, David's son, Steve, to brain cancer, Steve Siegel.
I actually went to the celebration of life.
Yes, thank you for coming to
Yeah.
that. That means so much to me.
That
Yeah.
was just too, that was just a lot going on for you.
Yeah. But we got the best doctors and got extra years in his life, four extra years than he wouldn't have had. And then that put my husband into kind of like a real sadness, because he says, the parents, now he's lost two kids in his life. And usually the parents, like, our feelings are, we need to go before the parent, I mean, before the children.
It's not
No
natural.
parent, no, it's not. So, any case, my husband had cancer, and last year, 10 years after we lost our daughter, and a few months after he lost his son, he passed away on a Sunday morning. And so I called the family that we were going to meet later after we got home from the hospital and make arrangements. So that afternoon, my mom went to pick up my only sister, 43 years old, and she was also a single mom. Found her keeled over. She had just passed of a fentanyl overdose. The straw was still in her hand. It happened that fast that she didn't have time to even drop the straw. So I lost my husband in the morning and my sister that afternoon. And so it was like actually like quite devastating. But, you know, people say, well, how can you believe in God, you know, with all of this death happening around you? But the thing is, all of it gives me more purpose in life.
It almost makes your faith stronger.
Yes, because
in,
God,
in an odd way,
because God puts things in our path that instead of like feeling sorry for yourself, you got to realize it's a learning process, and he's with you every step of the way.
Amen.
And now he's given me even a stronger voice because I have a larger story about the drug addiction to save more lives. The impact. I mean, I've lost my sister, my daughter, my sister-in-law to a drug overdose.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
That's too much.
Yes.
That's too much. And if you remember when we first started, I said we have a lot in common. Yeah. 2018. I think Victoria was, what, 2015? Mm-hmm. Am I correct on that year?
Yes.
2018, I lost my 41-year-old brother.
You're in the same boat
as him. And he, you know, it's an interesting story with him. And then when you said how David acted towards Stephen, I always say my dad died 9 months later from a broken heart. He also had many other issues.
That happened.
He had multiple myeloma. He had this. He had that. We weren't even supposed to keep him. And I'm not making this about me. I'm just saying the parallel to
what. That's what my husband had, multiple myeloma.
Did he? Oh, yeah, that's crazy. That's a crazy disease. And that's why, you know, I get goosebumps right now even talking to you, because I've always been able to relate to that sad portion. But, you know, somebody told me this, and I think I've spoken about this on another podcast previous to this. You know, there is no expiration date to grieving.
No.
Don't let anybody tell you. And another thing I learned, when you were going through all that sadness and people wanted to bring you food or people wanted to do things, that was their therapy for themselves. So I started learning, let people do it, because you're doing it as much for them as they want to do it for you. Did you learn that?
100%. And you know, I tell you, it's just so rewarding. Like whenever anyone brings me a gift, you just have to say thank you.
Yeah.
Because I look back in the day where my grandmother, back when like the home shopping, like the networks on TV, sure, the old ladies, senior citizens would be ordering stuff online. It's like, I don't like, and I was just in like middle school.
Right.
But grandma was so proud to give me like an ugly scarf or something that she got not from the internet, but she was immobile and she couldn't go to a store to buy me something. It's like, you stop spending your money on me. And now I look back and I said, I should just said thank you and take the gift gracefully, because she was giving it out of the goodness of her heart.
But you learned. You learned.
I learned, yes.
The process. And you you married someone who was a giver. I mean, when you were talking about, and I'm jumping around, I'm going squirrel a little bit.
But okay.
When you're talking 2012, okay, the crash and everything. Mm-hmm. I remember reading articles, which we're going to get to your Sentinel article, which was amazing. I got to read it earlier today.
Thank you.
What he had to go through with Westgate, what you had to go through with Westgate, you know, and that is just a next level stress that only a few can handle that.
Well, the bankers went to him during the crash of 2012, and they said, either you fire like 20,000 people out of your company, or you put everything you own personally up for sale. So he came home and he says, Jackie, we have a choice. We can save jobs, or we can put Versailles up for sale and his jet and, you know, multiple other real estates. And I said, save the jobs. And he gave me a hug and I says, I know, now I realize why I married you, you know. because we care about the people.
Selflessness, selflessness.
And we did. We listed the house. It was like on the front cover of the newspaper. I'm not making it up.
No, absolutely. I have some surprises for you. First of all,
I have a surprise for you too
do you
later.
really?
I sure do.
The Prince of Asai, a fairy tale based on a true story.
So this is a book that I just came out with called The Princess of Versailles. And since my whole theme with the Broadway show, The Queen of Versailles, my TV shows, the documentary. So what I did, I took our true story and made like a fairy tale, kind of lighthearted story about how our daughter died of a drug overdose and how me and my husband, the king of timeshare, missed the signs of her. And so what this book is, what I really want to do, and it's beautifully
Oh my
illustrated,
gosh, I couldn't believe it.
and it's a quick read. It only takes like 5 minutes to read. But what I want to do is, because see, we missed the signs, and we also were never able in a situation where we could open up the conversation to warn our daughter about the possibility of drugs out there. But we didn't even know about all that at the time. Now it's all fentanyl. You have to assume everything is laced with fentanyl. I mean, kids in sixth grade, they start with vapes. And the vapes, when they don't buy it from a legitimate distributor, they're usually refilled. And a lot of times it's just chemicals and fentanyl, and they can die from that too. So this book, a parent can bring it to their child, read it with them, and just like break the ice, open up the conversation and lightheartedly without accusing them of doing anything. Because that's the problem. If you bring up, say, we're going to sit down and talk about drugs, if you're, you
Yeah,
know,
sure.
they're going to shut the parents down. Are you accusing me of doing drugs? You know, so they shut out. But what I'm hoping is this can be an icebreaker to open the
Love
conversation.
it. It should be.
That's
It should be. I
that's
mean,
what this book is and why it's going to be so powerful.
we're Generation X, you and I, and
Yes.
we lived in a different time. These conversations would never take place in the 80s
No.
or in the 90s, and it.
No, because things
And
weren't.
we are able to laugh about it because people weren't, it wasn't as death defying
Well, back then,
back then.
I mean, if someone was buying a marijuana, it was from a plant, but it was also not chemically manufactured to be so much more higher potent in
Exactly.
THC. It was straight from the plant. I mean, like from a
Oh,
farm.
this stuff now is
No.
on it's just. It doesn't even, you can't even put your finger on it of what it is.
No, it's terrible.
And, you know, and one snort of cocaine these days, you know, and I love what Trump's doing with trying to clean up what he can, because it's just such a mess. And my man is just doing what he does. He wins. And I hope we, you know, you might know, I'm sure on the inside, you know more about the war on that than I
Oh, I
do.
sure do. And I just, Victoria's Voice, my foundation just teamed up with Fentanyl Fathers, who also goes out speaking to schools and warning them, the students and parents, about how everything is laced now, but also to carry Narcan in the event that someone comes to your house or you're around someone that does an overdose to prevent them from passing away. But, Greg Swan from Fentanyl Fathers, he was up in D.C. just recently, and Donald Trump declared fentanyl coming in from China through Mexico is considered in the government, our government's eyes, as a weapon of mass destruction
Absolutely.
because they're invisible bullets killing our next generation.
Absolutely. And you know what's interesting to me? We talk about the death and the final outcome of this horror. But what if, my mind is blown about Skid Row and California, and when I see these videos of these people in these stupors, like they're like, does Narcan knock it out of that? What is that? I don't even know what that is. It's like a mummified, I think it's called mummy or something. I mean, these are the people that are staying alive, living, they're living hell.
Yeah, they're just like a walking corpse. It's really sad. What's happening in California right now? I mean, I heard is it San Francisco that's totally changed?
The whole state has, and it's one of the most beautiful states in the country, but it's one of the most corrupt states in the country. And it's like, yeah, we're living in a really wild time right now.
But they're allowing the people to be homeless and stuff. And there is a way the government has enough money to rescue these people, to give them a trade.
Yeah.
See, I think all people need to do is learn. Like, you take someone who has no skills. It's a scary world out there. No one knows how to, like if they don't have an education, what like how. They don't know how to go out and make money. Maybe they were used to living off of grandma or their parents. But if we teach them how to, like in Florida, for example, teach someone how to change air filters and air conditioners in the whole state of Florida, they'll never be without a job. And it'll be a nice paying job to help repair air conditioners.
Great paying job. I have electrician friends and natural gas friends that they have done so well in their life, and they just have done so well learning a trade, and that's why these colleges are in trouble. You're spot on. You're right on the money. I definitely recommend this book if you have teenagers, if you have young ones. You have to see this book, read this book,
Oh, then
and
they can get it on
Amazon.
Amazon.com, on the books there.
Amazon and yeah, absolutely, 100%. So it's available on Amazon, and keep talking about Versailles.
Okay, so did you read the article in the Sentinel? You can put him in the other room. Oh my God, poor Mochi's choking
Poor
on his
Mochi.
little beard hair that's stuck in his throat.
Poor Mochi. Yeah, when I saw that, when I saw that, so I grabbed the picture. Thank you, Orlando. Thank you for sending that. So
They took a great picture of the house, huh?
that's the picture of it. But I think I'm not in a competition with the Sentinel or whoever, but I might have something for you that you might really, really like. I was going through my footage and I was driving on my boat I was doing a photo shoot at dusk over by Bird Island. This
Ooh.
was years ago.
Okay.
You're going to see, because you're going to see, watch.
Well, the house is actually more impressive from the back, from the lake.
Oh yes. It's going to take 2 seconds and three, two, please feast your eyes. Wait for it.
Oh my
I took
God.
this drone footage.
Wow, look at
Now
that.
wait, it comes off the lake like that. And that was years ago. That might have been 2018,
Oh my God.
2019, but it shows the magnitude of how beautiful 90,000 square feet is. Is that still considered the largest house in America? You do still have that
One of
title?
them. It's definitely larger than the White House. I know
Oh, no
that.
question. You could probably fit three White Houses in that thing. Isn't that gorgeous?
But it is one of the largest, like it's right up there. Like there's other people that are trying to fight with me and stuff, but I mean, not fight, but like
No, they're trying to compete.
compete, would be the word. But it's one of the most famous homes, that's actually a home and not a museum or used for business.
For those who, obviously, I know how you were inspired, but for those of you who might not have seen the documentary yet, which you got to see that documentary, it's amazing. It's an amazing story. It's raw. It's honest. That's all I've ever known you to be. Tell our viewers about the documentary and about a little bit of the story.
Yeah, so the Queen of Versailles, from the documentary 2012, you just have to Google it and then you'll find it because it does bounce around
It's
from
everywhere.
platform to platform. It's one of the top 50 most watched documentaries of all time in more languages from all around the world than any other documentary. So, like, if I go to Japan, people, Queen, 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 no. I go to Hungary. I mean, Australia, wherever I go, people recognize me because it's been translated to their languages. And back then it was really about the financial crisis, some about the house. And then it turned into a Broadway show. I was so fortunate that Christian Chenoweth played me on Broadway.
Yeah, she's a rock star.
Yes. And it was just so magical at the St. James Theater. We had a great run, and now it's ended, but they do sell the musical soundtrack also on Amazon. A great run while it happened, but now I've got my eyes set on another, like a TV show now. I want to open the doors to Versailles for people to see, and I want to share the world with Versailles. And I really want to use it to give back, like for ch other charities, not only Victoria's Voice and Saving Lives from Drugs, but like my husband passed away of cancer, your father passed. So I want to do things for cancer. I want to do things for children. And it's really, I feel like it's going to be like a tool to open those doors and provide, because it's almost like Versailles, I feel like if we want to throw ch like charity events for all of these different causes, it's like the Field of Dreams. They built a baseball field in the middle of nowhere in the Midwest, and they say, build it and they will come. And I feel that's what's going to happen to Versailles.
Everybody is so excited for you. You're in such an empowering position right now, or I always have been, but now, everything's on your shoulders and you'll get it done.
Oh, I do want to throw a little teaser in here,
Please.
because I do have a grand a special guest. One of my grandsons is going to come in at the end of the show,
Oh, my goodness.
and I know he wanted me to put a little plug in him because he doesn't want people to stop listening to this podcast until he sees the surprise he has for
Well, I
them.
was sitting there like, okay, the surprise is interesting. We could have a next superstar on our hands. Let's do it.
And as someone that also met David Copperfield several
Hint,
times,
hint.
he met him 2 times.
The best of the best. I mean, is there any other illusionist or
And that was his inspiration.
Wow.
Do I want to say who he is?
Sure.
Do I introduce him yet or not yet?
What do you want to do? This is what we'll do. Let's bring your special guest, our special guest here. Let him do his thing, and then we'll come and do a conclusion of the podcast and talk about whatever else we missed.
Okay, so I would like to introduce my grandson who learned magic from and inspired by David Copperfield in Las Vegas, Magic Jagger, to the
Magic
stage.
Jagger, let's go.
Abracadabra.
We have an entertainer here. You ready? Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, put your hands together for the one, the only, Magic Jagger. My man, what you got for us?
Like when you go out to dinner, sometimes you'll order like a bottle of wine or something.
Of course.
Yeah. Well, tonight or today, I brought to everybody watching a bottle in glass, just like this. And I'll do a toast to everybody watching. All right. So what I'm going to attempt to do is make the bottle switch places with glass. Yeah, that's a little hard, but we can try. All right. So let's go. So the bottles go over. Oh, so they say when you're doing this, you have to have an extra bottle with you. So there you go. Come on.
Extra bottle.
All right, so tubes go over. And then the magic word is change. And they switch places. Yeah, they switch places. But the hardest part is to always make them.
Does he have to say abracadabra?
Go back.
Oh, you made it go back. What a great trick.
All right, let's try this again.
Let's do it.
You look confused.
Let's do it again. Good.
To go over. And are you ready?
Yep.
So much
fun. Oh, now you got me.
Woo!
You got me on that one. You got me on that one. The first one.
You're hilarious. You're killing me.
You see, when you're doing it, you have to have an extra bottle.
Okay.
So, there you go.
You got three bottles. We're going to have a good time.
Oh, my God. Party tonight with Scott.
Good go.
And his beautiful family.
Tubes go over. And now... they switch.
Good night.
Oh my God.
But when you're doing it, I have an extra bottle.
What? Whoa!
Tubes go over. Then switch.
Oh my God.
I just bought
one
shelf.
It's like there.
What the heck? Wait a second.
All right,
now he's good.
Party tonight.
So two tubes go over. And then it switches like that. And then that awesome.
Is that? How many more bottles you got?
But you don't do it if you have some extra.
Good night.
One, two, three, four, five. We started with one bottle. Well, one or two. You snuck in. Yeah. Well, that's so crazy.
It's weird. They say if you have a bottle here, you have a bottle here. And if you have a bottle there.
Oh my God, how much are we drinking tonight? My God.
That's too many bottles.
Magic Jagger. Are you kidding me right now? Standing O. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
My grandson right here.
And you got 9 years before you can drink all those. So me and Jackie are going to go ahead and handle that for you.
I'm going to have him stock my wine cellar.
My guy.
You'll save me a lot of money.
He did a really good job. He got me the first time. I was like, and then the second one, and then the third one, and then get out of town, man. That was great. But you know what? You flowed. Now I'm going to talk entertainment. You flowed with it. You didn't get stumbled because everybody saw the first, and then you just kept flowing. You just like, the show goes on. And look, you blew my mind on that one.
I loved how he had the two tubes.
Yeah.
And then he says the wine glasses here and the wine bottles here. He puts the tubes over and he says, okay, I'm going to switch places. And then he says, okay, now I'm going to switch it back. But it's like he didn't move anything.
He didn't move anything. Yeah, I was
a joke.
Okay. I was like, I haven't even had a shot of anything yet. Lord, that was good, man. That was really good. Everybody, put your hands together for Magic Jack. Let's go. You know what I love about you, besides everything? It's just, we can talk about anything. You and I can grab a subject, and then all of a sudden, because we come from the same era, and we're like, remember this? You remember that? And I do believe, you know, we might not be the World War II strongest generation like they were, because they were, God bless them. Thank you, all the veterans out there, or all the current military. God bless you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your service.
Because without you, we can't do what we're doing here. But Generation X... you can't explain how awesome of a generation it was to grow up in.
Yeah, we grew up in a great generation. I'm so glad that we're like the same age and happy to be here and do whatever we can to like help this world out.
What we're going to do is we're going to bring you on so many times that all of a sudden you're going to evolve into your own podcast. Hint, hint, we can get you going.
My first sign house, maybe I need you to help decorate a room to do this in my palace.
Oh, you don't
palace.
Have to ask me twice. I can put this stuff in there in 2 days. You have a whole studio rocking. I would love to do that for you. Let's talk about this. It's a Wonderful Life. I want to hear all about this.
My late husband, David Siegel, his favorite movie in the entire world was It's a Wonderful Life, which we would watch every Christmas with the family, and he would always cry in the end. And here you see this grown man cry. You very rarely ever see him cry because my husband was just such a hard-headed, strong person. But to see him to get so tender, and the reason he did during this movie, It's a Wonderful Life, is because really the crux of the movie is about the main character, George Bailey, who felt that his life was worthless and he had no impact on this world, that he was just a little man. And so an angel who needed to earn his wings came down to show George Bailey what life would be like if he had never existed. And it showed like his brother drowning in the lake from falling through the ice when they were ice skating because George wasn't there to save him. It showed a town that was never developed. It was a cemetery, it was like a ghost town. And he finally, no matter what, George Bailey decided in the end, he says, I want to go back. I want to live life. And the angel told him that anytime you hear a bell rings, that means the angel got his wings. And when George Bailey came, they brought him back into the current time back then, where he was alive again. Well, he never died, but it was like kind of a dream to make him feel like, you know, what life would look like. And while they were singing Hark the Herald Angels at the Christmas tree with the family, a bell rang on the Christmas tree. And he said, he knew, he says, the angel just got his wings. And my husband always cries. And what was really strange is last Christmas, it had been like 7 months since my husband passed, the first Christmas with all of the children without my husband. My husband had a ring that he only had one ring, and he didn't know which child to leave it to. And so we decided me and him together to give it to a jeweler, take a piece of the gold out of it, and mold it and recreate the ring for all of the children.
Oh, wow.
And then the jeweler kind of forgot to send it to me and all this, and I forgot about it. You know, it's the first, every day was the first holiday without my husband. You know, the first
everything.
Yeah. The first, Thanksgiving, and now it's the first Christmas without him. So you kind of get lost where, like, you think gifts don't really matter, you know, those material things. And so me and the kids, we just did like kind of this one like little white elephant gifts exchange or smaller stuff, you know, because we didn't really care about it wasn't a happy time for us. And then I'm thinking, oh my God, there's a FedEx package. And it was from the jeweler. I go and get the FedEx package. I open it. And the jeweler on Christmas had sent the rings for the family. And I told the kids, oh my gosh, there's one more gift. They had no clue what it was. I said, it's a gift from Daddy. And the minute that I opened up this package, and we were just playing like Alexa or whatever, like there's nothing pre-programmed, and started passing out the little gift boxes because they were just little ring boxes. Mm-hmm. The song from It's a Wonderful Life came on.
Oh my gosh.
With Hark the Herald Angels.
Wow.
Just like, if that's not a sign from God, then I don't know what is. So what I did, and that gives me chills, actually.
Yes, me too.
So a couple years prior, when my husband found out he had cancer, for one Christmas, I didn't know what to get a man who has everything. So I bought him the It's a Wonderful Life car, the Model T that George Bailey crashed into the tree in the beginning of the movie.
Yes.
I happened to be in an auction. I was just going to the auction to get like some free drinks, you know? I mean, you know, like at the VIP center and to meet people. So, but I ended up buying it. I thought, my God, this would be, I didn't know this would come in my
hand. The one that was in the movie.
Yes. The one that crashed into the tree.
Wow.
And I have all the documentation, yeah. The marquee from the movie. So anyways, I gave that to my husband. It was our Christmas card one year with all the kids in it. We had a lot of fun with it. And now that he's gone, in a strange way, in the small town where I grew up, just a little bit north in Seneca Falls in the Finger Lakes in upstate New York, there is a Wonderful Life Museum. My mom has been in touch with them, and we are putting the car on loan for It's a Wonderful Life Museum for millions of people to go up there and see. And we're going to celebrate Christmas in July in honor of my husband, David Siegel.
What a wonderful sentiment. You thought of this.
If that's not a gift from God, then I don't know.
That's what just for everyone to be able to share, for you to share that story.
Mm-hmm.
And for everyone to be able to understand, and for everyone who's going to be in New York to be able to see that at It's a Wonderful Life Museum. Oh, my goodness. Yes. Christmas in July.
Isn't that insane? I mean, I didn't even know originally that there was a It's a Wonderful Life Museum. And it's right next to my hometown where I grew up and where I went to college.
That's unbelievable.
Right there.
That's unbelievable.
If that's not kind of like a full circle, I mean, it's just, there's too many, you know, they say there's really no such thing as coincidences right. anymore. It's like we're all getting on the same alignment, the same frequency with the right people. You know, there's people with different frequencies. You know, so those ones that are like mean and stuff, they can go and stay on that, but don't come near me.
As we get older, we learn to protect ourselves. We know who we love, and our hometown here, we know that all too well.
Oh, yeah.
We know exactly who's no longer in town and who's not. Or, you know what? I'm getting too old to not be around wonderful people that are doing good things. I don't have time for it.
Can I put my crown on?
Please put your crown on. Hold on. I got to go back. How can people get in touch with you and all that good stuff online? How can they follow you?
Well, most of my stuff is The Real Queen of Versailles. I have YouTube. I have Instagram, Facebook, The Real Queen of Versailles.
Mm-hmm. At The Real Queen of Versailles. TikTok, are you on TikTok yet?
I am on TikTok. I think that might be the same, but I can't remember.
There's so many of them. And they keep popping up and go, yeah, they've been around. The ones that are here now are pretty steady, pretty strong. Well, thank you. I'm so happy that we had the opportunity to do this. I would love to invite you back. You know, anytime you have something to promote, anytime you have something just to help save lives and I can help, please don't hesitate.
And God bless you, Scott.
Thanks.
And your family and your mom and everyone.
I appreciate you.
And your late father.
Yeah, God bless them all.
They're together.
And Victoria and you know, they're under a lot less stress than we probably are down on earth, right?
Yeah.
They're enjoying it. They're living their best soulful life.
I know.
Can I get a hug? Can I get a hug?
Yes, 100%. God bless you.
You too, sweet.
The Messina Connection. Yeah. The Messina Connection.